dump it on her head.
What? Yes! No! Yes!
Good radio.
I think it's six, but I'm gonna check right quick. Do Travis's side is so slow to
go. Doug funny.
Wow, that was pretty good.
I've seen plenty of the show.
What's going on, everybody? Podcast number six is incoming. Took a week off last week. There wasn't too much to talk about, I don't think. But Tokyo Game Show went on. Gears of War 3 comes out. We've been playing a few games. So I think we're ready to roll again. Andrew, how you feeling, buddy?
Feeling pretty good.
Good to hear. Like I said, we're kind of doing this on a whim on a Saturday afternoon. We usually do them Sunday nights. So I'm not sure what really we're even talking about. I haven't really given the script a great once over. So we're just going to kind of dive right into it. Andrew, as always, we're going to start it off with what have you been playing?
I have finished up Dead Island. And I borrowed your Assassin's Creed 2, and so I finished that up in about an hour. And so that's been pretty much it for me. I know you've been playing the Dead Island 2. What's your take on that?
It's a terrible game.
That's a good way to sum it up.
To be blunt, it is a terrible game. Kind of one of those budget games you imagine to be like a Duke Nukem, you know, imagine to be released in the summer to no fanfare, and for this one to get a lot of coverage, you know, have commercials, that trailer, you know, got everybody talking. It wasn't good. It's a very poorly designed game.
My whole thought process going into this game was that it was going to be like the underdog of the year. It was going to be something that people didn't get a lot of credit for it, but it was going to be pretty good is what I thought. I thought it would actually, we'd have more fun playing it than we thought we would. It turned into the exact opposite. For me, after playing it, I picture it as I don't know where exactly this Deep Silver is based, but I think they're European. And it's just, I think they're just some European company that didn't know what they were doing, and they got in on something they had no idea about, and they had really no care or love for the craft.
To me, it seems like when they released that trailer last year, it came out to a bunch of fanfare. Actually, I guess the trailer was this year, February or something. And it was just a CG trailer. So, you know, everybody was talking about this game. What is it? You know, zombies, blah, 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 blah. And they decided to capitalize on it and push this game out. And frankly, it looks like it could have been worked on another 5-6 months because it's just not so much. I didn't have bug problems. I mean, we had a few, just the two of us. But alone, I didn't really have many game-ending bugs. But when it comes to design and just balancing the game, it's just non-existent.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Just push this thing out the doors. It's awful.
I think I was telling you when I was playing, and I was like, you know, they just found every possible way they can to make it bad. Like every possible thing you would think that would make it fine, and then did it the exact opposite of that.
And we're not talking about like a multiplayer game where once you get 1 million people playing it, you realize some things are broken or not. This is something that very fundamentally, things like taking damage, hit detection, and just basic glitches like there's the one where you can throw a weapon and drop it at the same time and just make two instantly. I mean, these are basic glitches should be hammered out long before the game's done. So it's clear this game was just kind of rushed out. I didn't play it after they released the patch. You did. Did you notice any difference?
Nope. None whatsoever.
Duke Nukem was bad, but I mean, this was probably worse, but this is another one of those just kind of like games that had potential, but just is inept.
It's a bad development team.
I don't know if I'd say that. It's just that it's a bad quality assurance team, or whoever pushed this thing out the door too early. That's the problem, because it's just, it wasn't ready. It's a half-done game, and it shows.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
As for other stuff I've been playing New Vegas, Halo, you know, some kind of online stuff, waiting for Gears. Pretty much kind of hanging out. not too many big games to play. So, basically, uneventful on what we've been playing. I don't know if you have anything else to say about Dead Island, Andrew?
Not really, other than stay away.
Yeah, I think that is a perfect advice for that game. Stay away from it. It's not good. All right, now that we've got the what are you playing out of the way, let's jump into some news. Probably going to be a good bit to talk about with TGS and all. But, of course, I said it last week. As always, let's start out with some Arkham City news, Andrew. I know we got some. Talk to me.
Oh, it's our shtick. It's what we do. Until the game's out, it'll be nothing but talked about.
I got a feeling that once it's out, we'll still be talking about it.
Yeah, probably.
Go ahead.
All right. Big news for Arkham City. A new villain was revealed. And, well, they technically counted it as two gadgets revealed, but it was really only one new gadget shown off. But new villain revealed, Deadshot. Was not expecting him to be in the game. But, yeah, there you go. He's there. And the new gadgets they revealed, they actually revealed the what they call remote electrical charge gun.
Yeah, and I'd heard about that before.
Yeah, it's that. I think at Comic-Con when they were revealing the whole, when they were doing that whole thing, I think they showed off some pictures of Batman with some kind of like taser looking gun, some shotgun type, and that was literally it. And so now they were just adding more to that and telling you what it was and telling you what it did and all that. But it's basically what everyone knew. It's just a kind of shotgun type of deal that shoots out an electrical charge that you can stun people from afar with. The actual new gadget that they reveal was what they call the Freeze Blast, and that's what you're going to get, I'm assuming, after you defeat Mr. Freeze. You can freeze water and make little platforms that you can float around with.
That looked cool.
I was not expecting like a physical platform type of aspect that they're going to put in there, but yeah, that does sound like a nice refreshing change and something new to add in there. And you can also throw it at enemies and like detonate it when they come close, and it'll actually freeze portions of their bodies so they can't move until they get broken out of it by another henchman or until you bust it off of them.
I like the wrinkles they're putting into the combat. I'm glad they're kind of keeping it the same, but there's a lot of stuff they can add to it to make it give you more control over it. Usually, I loved Arkham Asylum's combat, but a lot of the times it felt like you were just kind of at the mercy of the draw. If someone's close to you, you don't know if they're going to hit you. Sometimes they back off, and you're just kind of, it's a crapshoot. But this game feels like you're in complete control. If you know what you're doing, you can just dictate the battles.
Oh, yeah. But I do have to ask from a guy who hadn't been reading all the comics, and I know you're trying to get into it, but what do you feel of Deadshot? What's your opinion on him being revealed as a villain?
I wish I knew. It's one of those things I wish I was in the development team so I could kind of find out the story about it, because it's one of those things that reminds me of everybody's seen, or I say everybody, probably just me and you, but we know, you know, Joker takes the shot at Catwoman in that 12 minutes of footage, and then the next segment is where he tracks the trajectory of the bullet and finds the sniper. And what they showed from Deadshot looked like it was going to be more of that kind of, like a extended kind of thing, tracking bullets, going back and forth, finding all these different people. Just, you know, a neat little side mission, but I feel like they developed that little detective mechanic with the trajectory of the bullet and have tried to make an entire side mission out of it. And they just like, well, does Deadshot shoot? Yeah, put him in there.
Yeah. I do get what you're saying there. I would have liked to see where you have to go into one of those detective modes to look at a crime scene. You got to kind of sit there for a second figuring out what to do. Where instead, what it does look like is going to be, once you figure out one aspect of how that works, you're going to be able to do every single one after that.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that might get a little boring. But on the flip side, I love what they're doing with all the villains and the side quests. You're not just looking for some stupid riddle and reading a bio. You know, they are physically there and a lot of cool stuff. That should make the game a lot more fun.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. All right, now let's flip over from Batman Arkham City and let's talk about a game that we hadn't really said much about at all, Ninja Gaiden 3. I think I remember we mentioned one thing about that at maybe E3 or Comic-Con or something, and there's been nothing else about it so far until Tokyo Game Show, where they revealed a whole bunch of stuff about it.
Not the one on Nintendo, which that's a great game too, but Ninja Gaiden Black and off of the Xbox was a fantastic game. I loved it. I love those kind of games, but I thought that game was, when you look at a genre like that, almost perfect to what it should be. But the second one was, wow, it was a dead island. It just wasn't done. It was there was no balance to it. It just wasn't fun. Third one, it looks a bit better. From what I saw, you know, it looks fun. I don't know what else to say other than it looks like it should, which is Ninja Gaiden 3. What do you think about it, Andrew?
I actually think from what I've seen of what they're doing so far, I like what they're doing. I know they've demoed it off. It looks like a Ninja Gaiden game, like you said. Mm-hmm. You're a ninja flipping around, slashing, all that stuff. It's Ninja Gaiden. They're not trailing off into any different type of deal. But they are adding a couple of new features and things to it that I think they're kind of going in the right direction.
Okay, talk to me about them.
Their first thing is they've announced they're going to have a multiplayer. a kind of multiplayer side to it.
Did they show this off in action? Because I read about it, but I didn't see it in action.
I think they did show it. I just haven't found any footage of it yet. I think all I found is coverage of people who were there watching them show it off on some, you know, press release stage. But what they say, it's going to be something like, you know, you just plop right in, eight people, I think is what they said, and you just ninjas fighting each other and hacking and slashing.
See, that Anarchy Reigns, are you familiar with that? The game Sega's coming
out? Oh, yeah.
I just don't think a game like that works for multiplayer. I never got to play Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 on the PS3, but that was co-op multiplayer, from what I understand. That's cool. I feel like a game like that lends itself well to multi, like a co-op thing, but multiplayer, I don't know how they could make it work. I love the kind of games, and if someone did it right, you know, I'm sure I could get into it, but I don't understand how you'd make that fun. It reminds me of a BioShock multiplayer, you know? How could you make this fun?
It's basically just throwing them in there and just shuffling up a box that you just toss everyone into and seeing what they'll do.
Pretty much, and sometimes that can be a lot of fun, but in a game like that, I don't know if it'd work too well.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I like the move. I think it's, if they can do it right, I think it's a good move. It's not just being the Ninja Gaiden sequel, but what they're also doing is they're doing a ninja and hero difficulty, where I think ninja is going to be just like you played in all the other Ninja Gaidens on the Xbox and stuff, and the PS3 and the PS2 and all that, where difficulty, and it's going to be hard and it's going to be tough. But they're also doing a hero mode where it auto corrects and auto dodges and auto blocks and all that. So it's really like made for them to try to show off the story is what they're justifying it as, be able so that if someone's playing, they can get the story and don't have to worry about the difficulty of the game.
I never understood why Bayonetta did that. I understand, but it's just one of those things. I'd like to ask someone who doesn't play these games and just doesn't like them, and even then, it's for someone who doesn't really play games. Would you be interested in just watching this for the story? Because all the fun is, you know, exploring the combat system, learning it, and getting better. That's what makes those kind of games fun.
Fighting that uphill battle.
Exactly.
Playing against the hard difficulty.
I don't know why people would find enjoyment in... I don't quite get it. Bayonetta, that was the same reason they used, is that you play with one button or something, and that was the same reason they used it. So you can experience the story. I'm like, really? The story? Okay. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 did the simple controls, which made it kind of like Smash Brothers. But the problem with that is, if you were playing against somebody who knew anything about what they were doing, you could never really win because you can't do enough. I understand they're trying to make the games more accessible, but if you're going to go out and buy the game, I think it'd be better if you just spent the time to get somewhat apt with the system and just enjoy it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also with that Bayonetta, I think I remember you telling me that if you play on normal, it doesn't have that auto kind of correct and stuff. And then if you actually go back and play on easy, it sort of throws off your game. Like, it feels a bit worse to play like that when they're trying to do the exact opposite.
Exactly. It's not good.
It hurts the game more than it helps.
I think so. All right, so we hadn't talked about Ninja Gaiden 3 much. Here's a game, however, we have talked about numerous times. Skyrim, back in the news. I believe it was at TGS, but...
Oh, yeah.
First up, they actually, I know we saw cam footage from QuakeCon of the Skyrim full demo 30-minute thing, but they finally released that in HD. Did you get a chance to look at that, Andrew? What'd you think?
Oh, yeah. I did get a chance to look at that, and I liked how Todd Howard did a sort of voiceover for specifically that E3 footage that they're re-releasing in HD and all that, so you can actually see it up close and everything. But there were a couple of things I'd seen in that I guess maybe I didn't see it in QuakeCon because I don't know if it was just not long enough or if they stopped recording or something. But I didn't, like, when I looked at it at the E3 footage that they re-released, I was like, I'd never seen this before. I don't remember seeing this. And a couple of it was the thing about he went to some kind of cave and he got a golden claw.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had to solve a puzzle using that. And I'd never seen that before. But I remember we had been talking a bit about that. I think you said you didn't like that idea.
No, I didn't say I didn't like it. Chris came to me like it was the end times. And he had the herald. Said, look at this. Puzzle. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Who cares? I mean, stop the presses.
I think I'll personally go in the middle ground of that. You know, I like the idea. I really do. But I you know, I get what you're saying. It's not, you know, it's not a huge thing. It's just a nice little side note as this is what they're going to start doing. You're going to start having to use things to solve puzzles, or you might have to look a little closer than what you would in any other game, you know, or any other Elder Scroll.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I love the Elder Scrolls game. I think Skyrim's going to be great, but you have to take them with a grain of salt. I remember there was a Oblivion footage just like this, 30 minutes of just their demo at E3. That's all they really released of the game before it came out, and you know, it showed all this stuff. The Radiant AI thing was supposed to be the big deal, and it just didn't. This wasn't in the game, basically. They didn't live up to that promise. So they can show this off in the demo, but there might not. There might be one puzzle that uses that. I know they get excited about these kind of things, and I don't think it's something we should be excited yet until we see it play a prominent role in the game. It's just not that big a deal.
All right, into other news, we've got Metal Gear Solid HD making a bit of a showing at TGS, where they demoed it off, and they gave a release date for Japan. Logan, you got anything you want to say about that?
We're going to talk about something later in the rapid fire, and I made the comment that, you know, there hasn't been one release that I know of, maybe one, the God of War one. I'm already sick of these HD collections. I'm sick to my stomach over them. It's a neat idea, but we are re-releasing every fucking game under the sun in HD. I want to play Peace Walker, but as far as the other two, I've played them both so many times. I don't know how excited I can get for a game that I have. I have two copies of Metal Gear Solid 3 sitting right over there. I see them both, not including two copies of Metal Gear Solid 2 somewhere, copy of Metal Gear Solid 1. I don't think that's on there, but Peace Walker on my PSC. The point is, I'm excited for it to play it in HD, but I already have the games. It's not that big a deal to me. What about you? How do you feel about these kind of HD collections?
Yeah, I'll agree with you. They're trying to squeeze everyone out that they can. And I would say if I was going to buy one, it would only be one a year.
I'm failing to see the advantage over these. What's the point of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker? Yes, because I didn't like playing it on the PSP. It was uncomfortable. That's something I like. It's got 4-player co-op online. That's neat. But any other of these games, what's the point in playing them? They're not going to look that much better. Is it to get trophies or achievements? Why? What's the point, you know?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. It doesn't do much more than stalling any new titles that you could have coming out from your company.
I don't know. Like I said, I love Metal Gear, and I saw the demo they did, and it looked neat. It's just, what am I supposed to say? It's Metal Gear Solid 3. They're old games.
Nothing new. You're not going to be surprised.
Yeah, if they were adding a bunch of stuff, then sure. But just like Resident Evil 4, which is coming out this Tuesday, I believe it still is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Great game. I've played it on GameCube, PS2, and the Wii. It's just, I've done it all. What more is there to do?
I've been on that merry-go-round.
Yeah, many times. That being said, I'll probably still play the Metal Gear Solid one just for, like I said, Peace Walker. But how excited can I get, you know, for something like this? I think a good example is, here's a question I propose to you.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'd buy it, and I know another rumored one is the Devil May Cry one. I like the Devil May Cry games. One's pretty good, 2's not that good, 3's amazing. So if I were to get that, I'd only get it for 3. And just like HD, I'd only get it for Peace Walker. So would you think it'd be smarter if they just released these games singly, or one at a time on like the Marketplace or your PSN store or something like that, where you could just pick the one you want?
Oh, I think that would be the only option you need to do. Releasing it on a disc, I think that's just a waste of time and effort. And I think actually,
and a trick to make more money.
Yeah, and a trick to make more money. It's doing nothing but harm doing that. But if you release each one of these in like a bundle or separately or both on the marketplace of these different consoles, then that's really where that would be a good thing. That would be a great option to go. Because you could support both the people who only want that one game to play and the other people who are just kind of getting into this gaming thing and who are like,
exactly,
you know, oh, what is this greatest hit stuff from the old days that the people are seeing on the marketplace? So, you know, I'll give it a try.
It's the equivalent of Resident Evil 4 and Code Veronica. If they package that in with, you know, the Resident Evil GameCube remake and Resident Evil Zero, you got 4 games, you have to pay $60. Well, those are all pretty good games, but I just really, if I was going to play one, I'd play 4 again. Don't make me buy 3 other games I don't want just to have some nostalgia.
Yep.
But all that said, Andrew, did they announce a release date for this or anything when we get our hands on it?
Yeah, they did announce a release date for Japan, November 23rd, but they still haven't released a U.S. date that I know of yet. I think they're still just saying November.
Well, like I said, it'll be somewhere close. They don't have to localize it or anything because they're all games.
Oh, yeah.
All right, moving to the whole sum up of this, Tokyo Game Show. I talked about it whenever the last podcast was, saying, you know, you don't really know what to expect from this because sometimes they have a lot of bombshells, sometimes just really kind of quiet. What'd you think about this year, Andrew? It seemed to be more on the quiet side to me.
Yeah, it was quiet. I do like how some of these games were good to mention about, and some of them were demoed, and so you can actually see these games being played. But there was nothing that kind of upset the water, I guess the best thing to say. There was nothing that really, you know, piqued any major interest.
Agreed. And I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm not sure on the specifics, but I know earlier in the year there was talk that this thing might even be canceled because of that big tsunami that hit over there. I don't know if that wound up affecting anything.
I don't think it did.
But I don't know if anybody pulled out or anything like that, because I just remember that was some talk earlier in the year, and it really wasn't a huge show. It was more of a Gamescom feel where there wasn't much revealed, just a bunch refined, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Enough with the news. I believe that's all we can comb from this week's headlines. But as we've done the past few times, a big game's coming out this week, and this time it's a really big game.
Oh, yeah.
Usually, each company has their heavy hitter for the year, and this is Microsoft's heavy hitter. It's Gears of War 3, Andrew. The final one. I say that in air quotes. But we talked about Dead Island having no polish. This is a game that's, you know, was supposed to be released earlier this year, and beta, it should be polished to a mirror sheen. Andrew, what do you think about it?
Honestly, I have to say, I think it's going to be really good is kind of a strong word, but I think it's going to be better than just about everything else that's come out so far.
Personally, people are really into Gears and just the whole like lore behind it. I never really cared that much. They were just fun games, but I didn't like Gears of War 2 all that much. I didn't like it at all, really. But I feel like this one's going to try to return to the roots, be a lot more kind of fast-paced, fun, and just go back to what made the first game so fresh at the time. And, you know, I know it's kind of hard to be fresh now that they've started the whole everybody wants to play third-person action shooter games like that. But I feel like there's a lot of stuff on the disc that is going to be fun to do, and I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, honestly, I do feel that it's going to be justifiable in a purchase. I think most of the games that have come out so far, I'd say about the only exception this year is Deus Ex. Most of those other games, I feel if I'd have paid for them, I'd have been cheated out of money. But I think Gears 3 is going to be about the first one where you can actually say it's worth buying. It's one of the first games you actually can be expected to expect something out of it.
Like I said, I've never been big into the lore and story of the games, but the campaign, Andrew, it's 4-player co-op, or are you excited to play through that? This is, like I said, the final game. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what they mean, but I assume it's the Mass Effect kind of vibe. This is the last game with Dom and Marcus and all those people in it, but definitely not the last Gears of War game. It'll make too much money, but I mean, what do you think about this campaign? Are you interested in it?
I think the campaign it's going to have some good moments, and it's going to have some bad moments. I think this whole thing about it being their last hurrah and sort of all these people branching out, and I think eventually they're all going to like get together at the very end and have some big ending thing going on. But I did see like they showed off a little demo thing of it where they were going through a supermarket to get supplies or something. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of stupid. That's sort of, you know, it's like the fetch quest sort of it holds no purpose to the plot, and it doesn't drive anything forward. And so as long as they keep that to a minimum, that type of stuff, it should be a fine campaign. I'm sure it's not going to be the best, but I think it should be better than twos. I mean,
I didn't like twos at all. And, you mentioned it got a bit too, full of itself plot wise, which I agree. And I thought that was the whole point of Gears of War was, I mean, look at the characters, how huge they were in the first game. They looked like just linebackers on steroids. It was crazy. And I thought the idea was it was supposed to be the video game equivalent of an action movie, the Expendable something. You know, here's the basic story. Now go kill some things. And the second one, it got a bit fancy. And I'd like to think this third one's just more about killing. I understand why. It's just one of those things that they see a chance to make movies and books and all that stuff and capitalize and it gets a little deeper than it should. Halo did it. And from what I've heard, the books are actually pretty good. It's just, it's trying to be something that's not, and I hope this third one is a bit more simple and just kind of fun, which is what the games are. They're fun if they don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, I think you put it right there. It should be like an action movie equivalent of a game, not so much like a whole drama story that has to be played out. It doesn't have to feel like a trilogy. It just has to feel like an action movie. Fun. Yeah.
To segue into the multiplayer, I feel it has the same problem. The first games was kind of half done, if it makes sense. Not because it was an afterthought from what they always said, and it was actually a lot of fun. The maps were good. It's just like Halo. I don't know. I've said this a million times. I don't know how something that's not really planned out from day one just turns out to be so much fun. I guess because they don't get too many fingers into the pile. And Gears of War 2, they did all this stuff to try to balance it and make it more fair and stuff, and it turned it into just a crawl. All that fun, and you only have one life Counter-Strike feel, and the tension, it was totally gone. And I feel like they ruined it in Gears of War 2, turned it into just turned it into everybody just sitting around waiting for someone to run around a corner, and that wasn't fun. I feel like Gears, though, is trying to blend the two, but with a little more one than two, and that's going to be a lot of fun. What do you think about the multiplayer, Andrew?
I'll agree with you on that. I think the addition of the spawn pool is a good move, mm-hmm. and I like how they're adding these different kind of modes that aren't just variations of Team Deathmatch. They're entirely new things in their own, or they're entirely new experiences in their own, like that beast mode.
Yes,
where
you talked about that. That looks pretty neat.
Yeah, where you can pick different actual locusts or whatever the enemy is going to be that you can be.
Interrupt you, but do you know anything about that? I've never understood. Is it just reverse horde, or can it be like the Halo had it where one team plays as the bad guys and one's the good guy? Is it people against people, or is it just you're all the locust against the computer?
I can't say exactly because I haven't seen a whole bunch on it.
Yeah, they've been pretty mum on that.
But from what I know, I think it's actually, it might be both, where you can play against the computer on one side, and it has, you know, an online feature where you can play against people and you can be the locust. Because I remember way back when they showed off a little, like they let people play a little demo of it where some people were the, what are those blind beast guys that run around?
The berserker.
The berserker, yeah. Some people were the berserkers, and then you had other actual players as the humans.
Okay.
And then I've also seen other footage where it looked like it was the computer playing.
Yeah. See, that's against why I had the same impression. And I really haven't, you know, they talk so much about horde, but they really didn't say anything about this beast mode, which I feel like that would be a lot of fun. And just like horde mode wasn't too, I had more fun with horde than the actual multiplayer. I just feel like it's a good diversion.
But speaking of the Horde 2.0, what's your opinion on them changing it up like that? Being a bit different than what they were in Gears 2. What do you think about that?
I like everything except for the cash system. I don't think that should be cash-based. I feel like it should just be performance-based. But the biggest problem for me is the buying in. I hope that can be turned off. I don't like how you can die and then come back to life. I thought that was so much fun with Horde, is once your friends started dying, it's all on one person, and they're all kind of watching him and cheering him on, stuff like that. That was fun, and I don't feel like they should have taken that tension out. I thought that's what made it great.
Yeah, I'm okay with the cash system. It kind of gives me like a Counter-Strike sort of feel, but I will agree with you 100% on the bringing people back. I think that's like if you die, that's your punishment.
Exactly.
You know, you if you have the bad teammate, then you have the bad teammate because he keeps dying. And it can't be brought back. So it's just, you know, you got to have some kind of punishment. Somebody going off where they shouldn't have gone, or standing out in the open a little too long. I mean, everything else I like. I like the idea of the boss battles every 10 wave.
Yeah, that is pretty neat.
And I do like the idea of these turrets and the walls and stuff. I kind of like those. I think that lets you play more than just one map now. Because I remember we only played River when we did, because it was about the only one that felt like an actual, there was an actual place, where you could fortify yourself and get ready for these waves, and everything else was just too wide open and too many different areas to have to watch, and it didn't make it any fun. And so now I think it makes every other map, you have the ability to turn every single map into a fortification, and you can all gather together and make something and make a stand somewhere.
All right, that's a good summary of the game, I think, and I feel like Gears kind of gets a bum rap for being, once again, the Call of Duty, Halo, just casual, everybody plays it game. But the more I look around, I feel like this game's going to be kind of different this year, just because any other huge multiplayer game, what do we have this year, Andrew? Can you get Call of Duty and Battlefield? Is there another huge multiplayer game coming out? I can't think of the top of my head.
I'm sure there probably is one, and I'm sure somebody listening is probably screaming it at us right now. We can't. We're just kind of saying we can't hear them, but I'm sure there's something out there.
Maybe an Assassin's Creed. I don't know if that's many people play that online, but that's another good example of something that's different. And if I look, but that's maybe too different. If I looked at a just, I don't want to use the word casual, but just a normal everyday person. Catch 500,000 people playing it on a Friday night kind of game. If I got Gears of War 3, Battlefield 3, and Modern Warfare 3, which one's the most different? And the easy answer is Gears of War, and I feel like it offers a little something new, and new's the wrong word, but it's fresh compared to its contemporaries, and I feel like it's going to be a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, I like that idea, fresh. I think that does sum it up.
Because as hard as it is to believe, it's been 3 years since Gears of War 2, hasn't it? Yeah, it came out in 2008.
Wow.
3 years. Because this game was ready to roll at the beginning of this year. I don't know why they pushed it back, but...
I guess during post-production or during close to post-production, someone came up with the idea of a beta.
Yeah, well, I hope it benefits from it, but all signs point to yes for me. I think it looks like a lot of fun.
Me too. All right, enough about Gears. Let's get into everybody's favorite, the Rapid Fire.
Alrighty then, lock and load, rapid fire time it is. First up, the PS Vita. There was a big talk about E3, about how cheap it was, and they were talking about how long the battery would last. Turns out, we left a few things out about that battery life. Andrew, what are some of the skinny we got on that?
I believe it's just, the only thing I really know is that it doesn't last. Like, it's extraordinarily short compared to what people thought. But to me, that kind of feels like, yeah, I remember everyone was getting a big hype about Vita when they first showed it off. And to me, it's kind of like everybody else was clapping and cheering, but I'd just be sitting there looking like, okay. And I mean, that's just another one of those reasons why I can chalk it up. Like, yeah, it's just another PS portable.
I know the 3DS got a lot of flack for not being innovative enough and not going the route of the PS Vita, or the PSP really started it, but the Vita's really doing it where it's a console game on the go, which... it doesn't appeal. I understand how that appeal to someone. Doesn't appeal to me, though. I think of portable games as simple and fun, and the console games, they're the intricate ones. And this thing's really powerful, and I wondered how they could get such battery life into it. But here's the trick. They said 3 to 5 hours. I believe that's 3 to 5 hours if you're listening to music with the internet turned off and all. It's all kinds of crazy stuff. From what I heard, if you were playing a multiplayer game, maybe an hour and a half, maybe. Every other game, probably 2 hours, just... you know, playing it. I think they announced there'd be an external battery, but we're going a bit beyond the rapid fire scope, but I just got to ask you, Andrew, if you have 2 batteries in your pocket, you know, this PS Vita, just to play Street Fighter Cross Tekken, is that worth it? Or would you rather just, I don't know, go home and play it on your gigantic TV on your Xbox or PS3?
I'm going to go with the TV.
Yeah, exactly. Next. Sticking on the portable front, the 3DS. I know there was a big talk about there was going to be another analog stick for it, and they showed it off. Andrew, what do you think about this thing?
I kind of liked it. It made me feel like if I'm holding the 3DS and I attach that thing to it, it'll feel more like a controller, more like an actual system controller, and not so much like a handheld. And I always liked that, and I thought it's a good addition to have, and I would buy it if I had the money and a 3DS. And I think I probably would buy it, yeah.
That's actually a really good point. I never really thought about that, but that would give that thing a better feel. Problem is, I wouldn't buy it because I know they're going to build a 3DS in a, you know, year and a half or less than that that's going to have this built in and more battery life and smaller and all that stuff. That's just what Nintendo does.
I never thought of it like that. Yeah, they probably will.
Next. All right. Jumping back to TGS a little bit. We're going to knock out some questions from there. Metal Gear Solid Rising. It actually got a mention at a Metal Gear Solid briefing. Just let us know the game's not totally dead. Andrew, what are your opinions on this game and its development limbo?
Well, I wish they would have shown a bit more, given maybe another trailer or some kind of talk about the game itself. But I guess, you know, all we can really get is that it's still there, and I guess I'm happy it's still getting made.
Yeah, it's it and Final Fantasy Versus 13 are the Vaporware of the Year winners right now. I'd like to think that this game will show up again next year because it really looked promising. I like the idea, but we'll see. Next. Sticking with TGS again, Dead or Alive 5. It's been a long time since there's been a Dead or Alive game or a new one, and they announced Dead or Alive 5 at TGS. Showed a very, very early build of the game. Andrew, excited for this game?
I think the Dead or Alive series is about the only fighting series I've actually enjoyed playing from, you know, start to finish. Apart from Dead or Alive 4's final boss battle, that is. apart from that, I enjoy it very much, and I welcome a new Dead or Alive.
I really hope that alpha footage was just trying to show off the graphics, which didn't look that good, by the way. Instead of, I hope it's not going to turn that much in the fighting. It looked really disorienting. Yeah, the Dead or Alive games, they're always kind of fun. I'll get excited when I know more about it. Next. All right, here's one I didn't expect. Final Fantasy X. It's getting an HD remake for the Vita and the PS3. No other consoles were announced. Andrew, what do you think about this?
I really love Final Fantasy X. I thought it had the best battle system of any Final Fantasy game I've ever played. But I think Square Enix, they're starting to go more like, you know, they're going multi-platform, and I really wish they would have done that for this, so I really wish I could have played it on the marketplace for Xbox, but, you know, I guess you can't always get what you want, and I probably won't play it if it's just on the PS3 and Vita, but it's just one of those things you can always dream, right?
I almost consider it's like a slap in the face, just because I know all the fans are really wanting a Final Fantasy VII one, and this is kind of a... Yeah, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to put a new coat of paint over this game that's already, you know, PS2, and we're going to make money off of it. Deal with it. Next. Once again, TGS news. Devil May Cry, or DMC, or whatever the hell kind of weird title they're calling it. Ninja Theory's take on the series. They had a new trailer for it at TGS. Andrew, what do you think about this game?
I haven't looked too much into it, but from what I hear, it's got some good aspects and some bad aspects. And so I guess I'll wait until it's kind of, you know, until they reveal more about it or until it's close to being released or, you know, more talked about until I actually pass judgment on it.
Well, you're a better man than me because I already passed judgment on it. I hate the loon look. I don't like what they're doing with the kind of art style over gameplay. If there's one game that was all about the gameplay, it was Devil May Cry. I'll probably play it just because I love the series, but... I felt like they needed to keep going forward instead of backwards with another prequel trying to reboot this. I don't get it. Next. Moving on. Halo Combat Evolved, the anniversary thing they're doing. The game that actually gets worse every time they show something about it. Showed a little thing about TGS and the Kinect. Andrew, what do they have to show?
I think they're showing off something like, you know, the voice commands like Mass Effect is doing where you can say something and have it switch between the old graphics and the new graphics.
Wow.
And something about the story, they're doing Kinect with that, but they've also said that I think in October they're going to be revealing like a major feature they're going to have with the Kinect that goes with that game, but they haven't said anything much, you know, about what it's actually going to be quite yet.
I guess we'll have to see, but I don't understand this whole graphics voice command, considering it was a button already you could just press. I understand in Mass Effect, since there's just not enough buttons because of the power wheel and all, but this, if there's already a button to do it, why do you want to say it? What's the point? Next. Finally, to end ye old rapid fire, Final Fantasy 13 2. This game is going to be released January 31st, about 2 years, but a little less than that since its predecessor. What do you think, Andrew? That's coming out pretty quick. Are you excited for this game, any?
No, and honestly, I think they're putting a little too much into it. I think 13 was kind of a sloppy attempt at a new Final Fantasy game. I know I'm probably going to get hated by the Final Fantasy community for saying that, but I didn't like it. Didn't do it for me, really. And, you know, I think they've just been kind of giving little bits of news every once in a while for it. Like, you know, they said it was going to be January. Now they're giving it January 31st. And so it's just, I kind of honestly want it to be, like, out of the news. But I guess they're releasing a little more and a little more every time about it that I think it doesn't really deserve.
Wow. Well, it's Final Fantasy. Of course it deserves it. It's a huge franchise. 13, I don't think it was sloppy. It was just a lot of different hands in the pot, I feel like. Kind of went different ways with everything. It was a good game. not a great game. I thought 12, even though that game had a lot of trouble, was a lot better than 13. But I feel like this one's going to be, I feel like one person's kind of taking the mass on this one, and they're going to try to put it in what, I don't know if it's the right direction, but for the love of God, just one direction. It looks more Final Fantasy to me. I'll play it. I don't know if it'll be any good. And I'd have to say, if this isn't good, then there's probably not much hope left for the series unless they just tear it down and start over. And that shall do it for the rapid fire. Whew. Andrew, the Saturday afternoon podcast. I believe that will do it. Did you like doing it this time?
Oh, yeah. Very quick, very efficient.
Yeah, I thought that's how it went, too. I was sitting here watching the football game the whole time. I like that. I know we said we do this every week. We slacked off last one. I don't think we're going to try to force it out there if it's not ready. If there's not enough stuff to talk about, I don't want to make someone listen to something boring. I don't know. Next week, I'd like to get some Gears of War impressions. I'd like to get one out. But if not, give us a couple weeks. There'll definitely be one sometime. All right. Thank y'all for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you sometime soon.
See you guys next time. Up their glasses. No expression. No expression. Hide my head. I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow.
Moving on. No Halo. Tomorrow. Collectors are... Oops. Halo, Randall, son of a whore. I didn't say it. Moving on, Halo. What's it called? Collectors. I see CE on my notes. I keep thinking
Combat Evolved Anniversary.
There you go. When people run in circles, it's a very, very.
Who wants toast? I like them crispy. I like them crispy on the outside. Hell yeah!